Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, how good does this have to look for Kansas City against the Giants so people will stop panicking? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And I guess I'm going to use panicking. Take that with a grain of salt. It's the Chiefs. We know their season doesn't even start till the AFC Championship game. But, Pearl, it does not look the same. And I'm not buying this theory that they're tinkering with the offense, waiting for Rashi Rice and Xavier Worthy to get healthy. Because if they were just tinkering with the offense, kind of what sometimes Bill Belichick used to do, with the Patriots, where it kind of treat September as an extended preseason, they would actually be going to guys lower on the depth chart. They'd be really seeing what they have in some of these players. And instead, we're seeing them force feed Hollywood Brown and, quite frankly, have Patrick Mahomes be their leading rusher. It's not that innovative. It's not creative. And it doesn't look like they're setting up for the knockout blow in any sense. It feels like they're hanging on for dear life.
But yeah, we know that Kansas City is going to be a tale of two seasons once they get Xavier Worthy healthy and Rashi Rice back on the field. So I think everybody in Kansas City is in a wait and see mode. Like, you got to just survive till you get your receivers back, because listen, Rashi Rice is, I think, already became better than Travis Kelce is in that offense. Like, he was, before he got hurt last year, he had 100 yards in 3 of 4 games. The last quarter of the season of his rookie year, he was the dominant player on that team. So you get Rice back and you get Worthy back. The question is, can you get enough wins to wait for that? And then the schedule gets easier. And your O-line, you're trying to figure that out. They don't even really know who they're playing on their O-line at this point, which is typical Andy Reid. So I totally buy the work in progress thing. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, I don't. Because I think if it was really a work in progress, you'd be seeing a lot more plays to, again, some of the guys on the depth chart that we're not very familiar with. And it'd be like
plays. They didn't. Patrick Mahomes ran most of the time he dropped back. There was nobody open.
That's not tinkering with the offense. That's not seeing what you have. We got to try to win this game, and we need Patrick Mahomes to be Superman.
They dropped back. They wanted to throw to all these guys, but they were all covered because, yeah, I don't know what happened in that game, but it's not like, I'm sure Patrick Mahomes wanted to throw to all these guys, but he didn't see any open receivers.
Okay, but Andy Reid's the guy. He's the offensive guy, right? He's the one who, yes, no matter how sticky the coverage might be for the Eagles secondary and Chargers defense is legit, but the Eagles defense, Dak Prescott was throwing all over your Eagles defense in the opener until the weather delay. That was like trading blows here. You came in the next day, you're like, no one's talking about the Eagles secondary. This is a big problem. Why am I the only one who's nervous about this? And then all of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes can't find a receiver, and we're not supposed to raise an eyebrow?
Well, I'm just saying, Andy Reid, I mean, this is the current Chiefs. Same thing happened last year. I mean, did their offense not look terrible last year?
No, but you kept pointing out, aren't they kind of playing with fire? Now, it was 15-2, but then they got to the Super Bowl and they got smoked.
Yeah. I did point that out last year. I was like, well, this offense stinks.
Yeah.
But you know what? Then I saw them basically get to the Super Bowl with that stinky offense. So I can't write them off now just because they look bad. I do think, again, I really think Rashi Rice is a massive impact on that team. They love throwing these little screen passes, and he's a great yak guy, where I don't think Hollywood Brown is as good as that. I think it's a big step down.
Do you think it matters how it looks against the Giants?
Not at all. I think they need to get out of there with a win, like 0%. As long as they win that game, they're fine. Even if they go to 1-3, they're fine. They're not going to blow out anybody. Who have they blown out? When's the last time they had a blowout?
That's fine. No, they don't blow people out, but that is indicative of what kind of Super Bowl contender you might actually be. And two, they wanted to do something different this year.
I think Andy Reid's evolved, where he is now closer to Belichick. Just find a way to win. to his credit. Like, the fact that he, in the last 2 years, has just been so content to hand the ball off and not have a passing game. Back in Philly, the constant criticism was, you will never run the ball. All you want to do is pass. And he's evolved so much as a coach to put everything that he knows to the side just for the win, just like Bill Belichick did in New England.
Okay, but is that evolving, or is that you have Patrick Mahomes and you feel like because he's the best quarterback in the league, you can just put everything on his plate? Because Tom Brady was a phenomenal quarterback. A lot was on his plate as well, but obviously he wasn't the athlete that Mahomes is.
No, he didn't put everything on Mahomes' plate. He started to hand the ball off like crazy.
No, I'm talking about this year.
Yeah,
though.
But even this year, how many times did he try Pacheco? Against the Eagles, they're giving a lot of handoffs. They're not passing the ball a lot.
Well, if you're giving that many handoffs to Pacheco, what does it say about your team that Patrick Mahomes is still your leading rusher?
Well, it didn't work. But they're still trying. You know, that's the thing. Like, if you want to commit to the run, you have to admit, Andy Reid has committed to the run.
It's not a bad idea. I get it.
Yeah,
but
it's against his character, too. He does not want to do that.
It just doesn't feel like this is Andy Reid tinkering in the lab, you know, and setting up for this second season. Sure, like, the schedule may get easier or whatever on paper, but last year they had games that you thought were winnable by a lot, and they were winning on last-second field goals and, you know, some ref calls and all the other things that the Chiefs enjoy. So, I don't know, 888-710-4ISN. I think it does matter how it starts to look here, and I know that no one's going to start panicking. They're playing the Giants this week. And then they play the Ravens at home the week after. And if it's 1-3, you know, I was looking back over the Patriots dynasty, only made the playoffs once by coming in second place in the AFC East, right?
Wow. I mean, that's the AFC East.
I understand that. Yeah. But
how do you coming in second in the AFC East? That's like,
I know, it's tough to do. Yeah. Back then, all those teams were such garbage. But 0-2, never had an 0-2 start with Tom Brady.
Yeah. And the Chiefs had an 0-2 since 14. But we know this. You know, the AFC better knock the Chiefs out early, because we know it's going to be a different team in the second half of the season, assuming that everybody stays healthy. If you bring back those two receivers, it's a completely different team.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right. How important is it for Kansas City to look good, the offense to look good against the Giants? Perloff says not at all. I think it does need to look a certain way to get themselves back on track. Let's get to the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, Pearl. Do you know who are 1-2 in the current Heisman odds?
John Mateer and Carson Beck.
You got it. What do those two guys have in common? With a lot of other quarterbacks, by the way. But what do those two guys have in common?
They transferred. And you know who else did? Everybody else on the top 15 of this Heisman list.
Yep. Well,
there's not a single person except for Jeremiah Smith who's been at the same school. But go ahead.
They've got in common, you nailed it the first time around, they are both transfers.
Oh, yeah. I knew this in advance because we talked about it in the pre-production meeting.
So who... is the greatest college football transfer, loosely based off of John Mateer and Carson Beck, and
Dante Moore,
and everyone in college football right now,
and Joey Aguilar, and Jackson Arnold, and Devin Dampier, and everybody else who's on this Heisman list, except for Drew Aller. That dude is loyal to Manny's Penn State.
We are
loyal. All right, Pearl. Who is the greatest transfer of all time?
First of all, if you're going to do this debate, you better pick somebody the last 10 years since transferring has gone crazy. How is there any other answer except Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow, not only did he transfer, had the greatest single season in college football history, and there's not even a close second statistically. There are close seconds sort of narratively. 60 touchdowns, Maggie. 60 touchdowns. Took LSU to the national title, beat Alabama at the peak of Nick Saban's Alabama. He did have pretty good receivers, I'll give you that, but won the Heisman. And not only that, the guy left his home state. If we're talking about the whole nature of transfer, lost the quarterback battle to Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State, which is understandable. Dwayne Haskins is the prettiest thrower probably in the history of college football. Couldn't beat him out. Had to leave his home state, which we just mentioned he was loyal to go to LSU. Struggled his first year, stuck with it, and then became the all-time college quarterback, Joe Burrow.
Bringing it.
Burrow's got time. Launching for the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown, Terrence Marshall. And Burrow believes that was a crucial play to stretch the lead. You can see by their reaction. Dropped a dime again.
No, I feel like I could win this debate. Because Joe Burrow that went on the NFL was great, too. And people will vote on the poll based on NFL success as well. Because we all do that thing. But Joe Burrow, we found out, was the real deal at LSU. If it wasn't for the ability to transfer, he might have never even played. So he, to me, fits the nature of this debate.
Joe Burrow's a good one, but I think I have one better. And I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield. Let's hear it.
Baker Mayfield throws, has Anderson. First down, Anderson. Can he get there? Touchdown, Sooners! What a play, 43 yards. Baker Magic Mayfield.
I am proud to announce that this year's Heisman Trophy winner is Baker Mayfield of the University of Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's how it ended. Yeah. How it started was Baker Mayfield as a walk-on at Texas Tech, Pearl. Okay? Then transfers to Oklahoma. Had to sit out a year. Remember when you had to do that? All the way back in 2014 where you still had to sit out. Then flourished when he got onto the field in 2015. Goes 11-2 his first year, 12-1 the second year, wins the Heisman. The numbers are just insane.
Boomer!
And became a thing in a place that is college football, like blue blood. And yeah, lost to Georgia. I understand the Rose Bowl. I get that. But he also was one of the biggest landslides in the history of the Heisman. So for me, as far as transfers are concerned, I will go with Baker Mayfield as the greatest. EJ, what do you have?
Boomer!
Okay, not an Oklahoma Sooner and not a Heisman Trophy winner, but one of the most phenomenal athletes to ever play in college football. And to me, when I think of best college transfers, not about necessarily your accolades, I just want the best football player. And I don't think there has ever been a college football player better than Randy Moss.
6 yards to go now. Two deep zone. Screen. An inside screen to Moss. And he's got some room.
Look out.
And moves.
Look out.
Randy Moss. Oh, my.
Oh.
Now we see the speed.
He
Randy Moss.
Looks like he's going the distance.
Randy Moss.
What a play.
Wow.
Almost 20 years later, I find out that the play was supposed to have been penalized. Back when we were playing, you could not hurdle a guy, so the referee was supposed to throw the flag. Well, I'm glad he didn't, because that was a hell of a play that I made. I wowed myself.
Wait, I have a question about these. So are you counted as a transfer if you never played at the original place?
I mean, he had to transfer schools. He transferred from Notre Dame, transferred from Florida State, and then eventually landed at Marshall, where he finally did get on the field. Yeah. And we want to talk accolades. We can talk accolades. 1,600 yards as a wide receiver, 25 touchdowns, average 137 yards per game, fourth in Heisman voting. But I think he should win on just that one play. This man caught a 2-yard screen pass, ran it 90 yards, and at one point completely hurdled a running defender at him full stride, kept going to the rest of the 80 yards. I mean, one of the most spectacular plays you'll ever see. Randy Moss, the greatest college football transfer of all time.
84 don't stretch on game day.
He does not.
You watch, a lot of Thundering Herd back in 97 there?
Oh, I did. I did. I loved myself from Chad Pennington. And then he became a Jets quarterback, of course.
Manny,
who's
the
4 years old?
It was the greatest transfer of all time.
All right. Well, Perloff brings up a good point that I'm hoping that the voters will, you know, think about this player with his success in the NFL. But before all that, he was a starting quarterback at Alabama. National championship game, he sees himself get benched for Tua Tagovailoa. He goes out to Oklahoma and just goes ahead, has a 12-2 record, throws for over 3,800 yards. I will go begrudgingly with Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts.
First and 10 at the 27. Hurts throws off his back foot again. CeeDee Lamb. CD, another TD.
First team All Big 12 that season at Oklahoma. Also was an All-American, and by the way, he's a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl MVP. I'll go with that guy in Philadelphia. Can't throw for over 100 yards in a game.
Bogish, who's the greatest college transfer of all time?
I couldn't believe this guy was there to be picked when I finally got around to picking. He first went to Florida, where he was stuck behind a stiff called Tim Tebow. Then he got into a little legal trouble, so he had to go to the JUCO route, ending up at Blinn College, which led to Auburn and arguably the greatest season in college football history.
Pump fake by Cam. Now he's going to go deep to Zachary. He's there at the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 10, 10. Touchdown, Auburn!
The year was 2010. Those Auburn Tigers, undefeated national champs. Cameron Newton accounted for over 4,300 yards of offense and 51 touchdowns. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. He was throwing to guys named Luton Crookin, not multiple pros at LSU. And I believe Randy Moss was playing for one AA Marshall. So yes. Give me Cam Newton in 2010 as the greatest football transfer in college football history.
I don't like any of this.
Wait, I mean, he's 12 years old out here, man.
Transfer portal, like we think of a guy going from like one Division I A school to another, not a JUCO. And you guys had like three Lincoln Riley products. Like, I should win this poll with Joe Burrow.
I mean, you might as well win this poll.
You did Jalen Hurts. You did Baker Mayfield. I thought about doing Kyler Murray. Like, those are all, yeah. Joe Burrow.
Yeah, because LSU can't catch a break. They won national championships more recently than any of these teams.
But don't you think it's odd that the same coach had three transfer quarterbacks in the Heisman race and 3 years in a row? Like, that was clearly something going on there.
But the reason why Baker Mayfield should win is because he was the first of those guys. They were coming off the Blake Bell era.
And he planted the flag.
Any plan of the flag at Ohio State.
And he could dance with his teammates. Really cool. That was amazing.
Yes, and he could Dougie.
Yeah, and he's Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
No. So, by the way, Bogish, way to diss the Mac. Marshall playing in the Mac, and that was a double A school.
No, not in 1996.
1997? You telling me Miami, Ohio, these were all double A schools?
I just reconfirmed it. It says their last year in 1AA was 96 when Randy Moss was there. They won the national title.
Right, but 90. I'm talking about 97.
Yeah, still.
I don't care what the date says.
Exactly.
I should win because Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl, so he's had the most success at the professional level. So,
now, correct me if I'm wrong. Eagle, you
traitor. Randy Moss should have won a Super Bowl.
I'm trying to win over here. I've got a good streak on these over the last few Wednesdays, so I'm trying to keep it going.
No, Manny got a taste of a little victory. And
did we? Yeah, it's delicious. By the way, we all did. Maggie, basically, because Baker Mayfield won on Monday night, yep. Maggie went with Baker Mayfield.
I get this formula.
EJ's got Randy Moss, we all went with NFL guys, and Cam was amazing too.
Well, forget it. Before I was doing this to be interesting. Now I'm doing it to win.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's some other guys out there that we left 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, including some pretty prominent quarterbacks / broadcasters.
Troy Aikman.
It was very specific.
Troy Aikman, transferring from UCLA also automatically disqualifies you from this conversation because that's not a real football program.
Well, it was then, wasn't it?
In the 80s.
Very disrespectful.
Not really. Not really.
It's closer then.
They're in LA, if you didn't know.
Next to USC.
Yeah. It's them and USC, actually. Yeah.
Even back then, they were like, I don't even think they made him wait a year. It's like, get out of that program. The fastest
it's us and USC. We're in LA.
No, I mean, he transferred to UCLA. I screwed that one up.
Yeah, it was
but anyway, no, I mean, come on. You're not going to do Troy Aikman. We had a big Troy Aikman conversation last night. You're saying he's better than Joe? Joe Burrow threw 60 touchdowns.
That's a damn embarrassment.
Won the national title.
I know, but nobody was throwing 60 touchdowns when Troy Aikman was in college. Everyone was running the ball too much.
Yeah, I mean, again, like Cam Newton. You're telling me Troy was better in college than Cam Newton?
He wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
The list I found mentioned Roger Staubach, and I almost went with him just so I could say that he went first to the New Mexico Military Institute.
Yeah, imagine the parties at that place.
And by the way, I was tempted to go Josh Allen, even though he did absolutely nothing in college, just because he was technically a transfer, and he's a great NFL player.
Well, we did say no junior colleges, which Josh did go to junior college before Wyoming.
Yeah, and he was not very good at Wyoming.
But that's not transferring.
No. We said that wouldn't count. It's not junior colleges. Like Aaron Rodgers went to junior college, then went to Cal. We did not include that in this debate.
Yeah, you don't transfer. I don't. Technically, you don't transfer from junior college to a full NCAA school.
I think this is how Diego Pavia won this case against the NCAA, right? Mm. Wasn't he saying junior college doesn't count against my eligibility?
Oh, really? Yeah. Now, does Randy, but Randy Moss, did he technically transfer? Because he was, I don't know how enrolled in part of the team he was.
The way I read his history today was that he never went to Notre Dame. Right. Notre Dame dropped ended his commitment because he got in trouble in high school.
Right.
But then he had to transfer from Florida State to Marshall.
He did, but he never played a game at Florida State. So why do you have to transfer?
Because he was enrolled at the school.
Got it.
He was a student, yeah.
That's how I'm reading it. That could be. I don't remember the Florida State part of this at all.
I mean, it's pictures of him in Florida State gear, like working out.
Yeah. So if he went there and was enrolled, then you have to transfer.
Got it.
What do you think? 888-710-4ISN, the greatest college football transfer of all time. We do have some Heisman stuff for you as well with your two front runners, John Mateer and Carson Beck. Your September Heisman check-in, we will do that. Also, man, speaking of great debates. So last week I did not win, and I actually want to protest it now. You did win. But I want to protest my loss now because of new information that has come to light the last 24 hours.
Oh, that's too bad, man. I don't give back dubs. I don't give back the
there
wins.
There is new information now on a choice that I had last week that I think if we put the poll back out again, it would change the results. We'll give you all that next. Maggie and Perloff Show.
All right, Maggie, this is a very, very fun time of year. And I got to be honest, on non-football nights, I love having Prize Picks because there's so many different sports you can get into. Prize Picks, it's the best. You can get paid for being right. Millions of users, billions of dollars awarded in winnings. Prize Picks, best place to put your takes to the test. So simple to use. You just pick two or more players across any sport. You could go WNBA, you could go baseball tonight. Pick more or less on their projection. And if you're right, you could win big.
How about this, a little tasty one for you? You can do Matt Olson, Pearl. We're all familiar with him because he's been killing our teams for years. Over 6.5 hitter fantasy score. And then how about pairing that up with my girl, Jonquel Jones, GW's finest, with the New York Liberty tonight. Over 27.5, more than 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Let's have a little fun, people, on Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. All you got to do is download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing, guaranteed. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So this week's great debate, greatest transfer in college football history. But there's, I guess, some controversy about last week's great debate, which I'd already forgotten what it was.
There isn't controversy.
Okay, wait, hold on. First of all, we all picked quarterbacks, except for EJ, who picked a wide receiver. You picked Randy Moss. Yeah. The rest of us picked quarterbacks.
Oh, did I say quarterback?
No. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're talking about the greatest college transfer of all time, I actually think Jared Verse deserves a nod here because he went from Albany, like an FCS school to Florida State, and it's not his fault that they got absolutely jobbed out of going to the college football playoff, and he's awesome in the NFL also.
Oh, where are you from, Maggie?
Yeah, Jared Versa, Cam Newton, same, same.
I'm just saying, Caleb Downs, there are defensive guys who probably deserve to be mentioned
not
as
them,
well.
Though.
No, because only Cam Newton only touched the ball in every single play, right, where Jared Versa had like like three sacks in a big game.
Listen, come Albany on. Is Rochester, Binghamton adjacent.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to say, Jared Verse. That was just a point out to the audience that Jared Verse went to a school in Central New York. Like, that had nothing to do with the debate.
Go Great Danes.
And listen, I'd be bringing up Khalil Mack a lot more if I was really concerned about getting Upstate New York into the show.
Hey, horns up.
That's a shame.
Go UB.
Okay, so last week's great debate. So you're welcome to weigh in on this one. Who's the greatest college transfer of all time? 888-710-4ISON. I just want to say last week was our great debate of who's the biggest NFL coaching character of all time.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, and Manny won that because he picked John Madden.
Boom.
55% for Manny.
Yeah, boom. It was a landslide.
Love it.
I do.
Now, I just would love to know if there would have been more votes for Jim Harbaugh had we had learned this about him before last week. Here's Dion Henley, who had a big interception in the Chargers' win over the Raiders on Monday night, reveals that Jim Harbaugh, like Manny, loves Zins.
He goes into these rants, and I mean, they get so out of the nowhere. You don't understand the man. He gets to talking. He gets to go from, "Hey, guys, we need to be able to focus." His Zin falls out. He's a Zinner. I don't know if he knows that, but he loves his Zin.
Okay, so the Zin falls out of his mouth. It's like a tobacco product. And then what does he do with it?
The Zin falls out. He goes to pick it up. He's like, you know what? I'll just save it for next time. Oh. Tries to put the Zin in his pocket. It falls again. He's like, you know, we're all like, coach, let the Zin go. Let the Zin go. He pulls out 5-6 packets of them. Like, you know what? I got more for next time. We're like, what was the point of even trying to save the one that you just dropped? I mean, like, the guy is just all over the place. But when it comes to football, it's all about winning.
Manny, how many Zins come in one tin?
That's a great question. 12, maybe? Yeah, 15 of them.
Okay. More from Jim Harbaugh and why he should be considered the greatest NFL coaching character of all time. Gets into the ice tub with the rest of his players, but imagine this in your mind.
He is one of the silliest dudes I know. Jumping the ice tub in all of his clothes. full clothes, jumping the ice tub. Man, he's different, bro. He's so different.
So after a practice or after a game, he'll jump in the ice tub in all his gear.
Completely, fully clothed.
Oh, wow.
Exactly what he had
he's
on.
Different.
Khakis on in the ice tub. Thank you, Jordan
Zin
Schultz.
In.
That was a Draymond Green as well. Okay. Would I have not gotten a few more votes?
Zero.
Had that information been public?
I mean, okay, the act is now so played out. Mm. I told Bogues before, do you guys know The Boys? It's a show on, Prime.
Yep, Prime.
It's a superhero show, but it's really dark. There's a meme that often goes around where Homelander, the star, is like, nobody likes me. He's looking sad. Then people start cheering. He looks around like, oh, wait a second. People like me. Did you guys know that meme?
Yes.
Very, very popular. Anyway, at a certain point, someone started laughing at Jim Harbaugh's foibles and his weird habits. And now he's just tripling down. He's become such a fake. I mean, he's doing this. Everything you just described is all for impact. He was never funny in San Francisco. Then in Michigan, people are like, oh, my God, this guy pleats his pants. He's so weird. And then he's like, oh, people are laughing at me. Now he just plays into it for the laughs, like
Michigan
100%
man.
Of the time. He's such a phony.
Pearl, he's been tucking his sweatshirt into khakis back to the San Francisco days.
Did anyone ever laugh at us? He was the least funny coach in the NFL when he was at San Francisco. And then he wasn't even funny in Michigan forever. And then he started, like, people started, like, enjoying the Jim Harbaughness. He was a jerk back then. And then they beat Ohio State. He's like, well, people are laughing and we're beating Ohio State. This is all good. Now he's tripling down. This is all, he's created a character, man. You're falling for it. It's not real.
The dude had a Zin, which is basically like chewing tobacco, but not.
Oh, he's crazy,
fall out of his mouth, and he put it in his pocket.
You don't think
that's not an act.
Getting into the ice tub with your clothes on, I mean, come on. You don't think Jim Harbaugh is playing into this stuff now?
I think he's just a stone-cold weirdo.
No, I think he knows where the camera is now. I think he's changed his act.
Is Jim Harbaugh a phony? DJ, yes. Put it up on the poll. Yes, no.
Reusing a Zin. That's a.
Thank you.
Know,
you.
That's he's also crazy, but he is definitely. There's no doubt about that.
That's probable cause. That's enough for an arrest.
But like, do you guys remember?
Is he a phony? Yes, no.
Back in the day, like Jim Harbaugh was not funny. Like,
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember
like the Trent Baalke, Jim Harbaugh. There was nothing funny, but like he had a great team, and he's rubbed everyone the wrong way and got kicked out of San Francisco.
Yep. Don't remember anybody left while he was in San Francisco.
He was unlikable there.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah, it changed.
Between the media and also just people within the building, he was seen as a guy who was too intense.
Must be the nicotine.
Yeah, I mean,
the withdrawal.
Yeah, he's also totally crazy.
Let's get to Bogus, who's got the latest headlines. And is Jim Harbaugh a fraud? Yes or no? We can vote a Maggie and Pearl on it.
Fraud? No, I said he's phony.
Phony.
Joe Burrow's toe, J.J. McCarthy's ankle, Jaden Daniels' knee, Justin Fields' concussion.
What a disgrace.
It's not a good stretch for QB health, but at least Josh Allen can joke about his busted nose.
Has the praise turned into now people making fun of you and joking?
Why would they do that?
Brown said you looked like a different teammate. Who's down there? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm third Bosa brother in the league, you know.
So I guess the Bosas are infamous for big noses? Is that what this joke is?
The protruding foreheads, which I think the swelling of the nose has made his forehead look like caveman-esque.
Joey Bosa's got a big nose, and like me. And Joey Bosa gets made a lot of fun for it.
Okay. Allen,
who's playing, by the way, kind of okay. He's pretty good, by the way.
Joey Bosa?
Yeah, I mean.
Can't judge off of the Jets tape. Sorry, EJ.
But he had a big play at the end of the first game.
And you'll be able to judge after the Dolphins tape?
Let's see what happens. That's a desperate team coming into Buffalo.
Joey Bosa until they play the Chiefs in the divisional round.
Classic trap game here.
Did he have a good fourth quarter against Baltimore? Am I imagining that?
He ended up having a couple plays in the fourth quarter. Yep.
Allen and the Bills are back on the field tomorrow against the Dolphins, as Manny just mentioned. Allen says he might wear a clear protective visor.
Any word on whether or not he'll have a Zin in his mouth during the game?
And speaking of Joe Burrow, the Bengals have signed Mike White and Sean Clifford, to their practice squad while promoting Brett Rypien to back up Jake Browning. He did it again last night.
His pitch going on a high drive right field. Going back, looking up, goodbye! Up on the plaza, beyond right field, a two-run homer by Trent Grisham. And the Yankees open up a lead here for Trent. That's his 31st home run.
And Steve Sims on WFAN. Yeah. Now, oddly, we were quickly made aware of Trent Grisham's latest homer as he and the Yankees built a 10-1 lead last night in Minnesota, but then no texts from Manny as Minnie scored the next 8 runs. Unfortunately for the rest of us, David Bednar finally got the 27th out, and the Yankees hung on for a 10-9 win.
The reason there was no text was because I was sleepy time Bobos by then. Knocked out.
Gotcha. The Blue Jays got a 6-5 win in Tampa last night, so Toronto's lead atop the AL East remains 5 games on the Yanks. Before that game, the Jays said Bo Bichette will not return during the regular season from his sprained knee. Two sweeps were possible last night in the WNBA playoffs. Neither happened. The Aces losing in Seattle 86-83 after the Dream woke up in Indy 77-60. Decisive game 3 is tomorrow in Vegas and Atlanta. And congratulations are in order to Manny and from Maggie, both selected earlier today in Pat Boyle's Vegas Hangover Draft of Infinity Sports Network employees. Pete Bilotti, Manny's predecessor, picked Manny with the first selection of round 3, 2 picks after Pat took Maggie.
I know Maggie Gray is a good time.
Okay.
I got a real good feeling Maggie Gray would be a real good time in Vegas.
Mark it down.
Drinks will be flowing.
What?
Maggie knows how to have fun. I'll leave it at that. And there's no innuendo there. I just know Maggie would be a great time in Vegas. So I'm going me, Carlos, and Maggie Gray. That's our 3-person crew so far with 2 more to add.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong with that one.
Come over here. I love you.
I'm a woman now.
Who has Pat been talking to? Kelly. Yeah. I mean, does my reputation precede me here? I thought what happens like in Vegas stays in Vegas.
So wait, Manny was the first pick in the third, so Maggie was the last pick in the second round.
Hold on. No, there were three picks. So Maggie was the second pick of the second round.
Okay.
And then Pete had back-to-back picks in a snake draft, and he took Manny with the second of those two picks.
Just a bad idea. It's true, because it's a little off. I appreciate Pat and the vote of confidence there that I'd be.
Non-innuendo that you'd be a good time.
Well, I mean, Pat, yeah. I mean, what have you heard again?
I Frenched that thing like I was in Paris.
The fact is, Manny is the correct choice.
Probably.
Yeah, Manny, probably.
Manny, yeah, Manny was probably low on that. What happened? Was there a combine interview? You effed up, Manny?
Yeah, you know what? My physicals, I wasn't feeling great that day. So you know what? I just came out a little bit slow on the 40. But you know what? You come back during my pro day, I promise you I'll have that 4.4 speed, 4.3 speed that everybody's looking for.
He did a Shador Sanders. He's like, I should be number one pick. I'm not going to talk to anybody.
I'm bilingual. I got to use it.
Yeah, I don't do whiteboards. Leave me alone.
I know my sports.
We've been to Vegas together.
Yes.
Perloff and I and EJ
yeah.
for the Super Bowl. And then Perloff and I were there with Samter for the draft.
Yep.
NFL draft. And
good
we
time.
All made it back in one piece.
Did. thanks to Maggie. Number two pick in the second round.
Yeah. Little rich. I'd eat the yellow snow.
Fifth overall, Maggie.
Yeah. I was overdrafted there. I'm not ordering a blow-up doll. Perloff has sat with me at a blackjack table.
Yeah.
And then you got up from the table.
I did. I got up while I was winning, which is a cardinal sin. She's got the pineapples and the tatas.
So you're not as cool as you give off? Because I would have...
Shocker.
You would have been on my... No, you would have been on my board, and you were on my board in this exercise this morning, too. So we were all wrong?
First of all, I can't get into the sphere.
That's okay.
You're banned from...
It's a James Dolan property.
You're banned from the top attractions that's in Vegas right now?
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What's this?
No U2, no NSYNC.
No Wizard of Oz right now. That's
no
funky.
Wizard of Oz.
Who is you? That's what they're doing? You Wizard of Oz at the Sphere?
Yeah, and it's got, I think you feel the twister, and I think they might spray water at you. So it's very, the whole thing,
did
it's immersive.
Did you go to one of those movie theaters recently? The full immersive?
Oh, EJ, I did.
Oh, EJ did. Sorry.
I saw Superman. That
Superman.
Was awesome.
Right,
oh,
right.
Man.
Oh, you had snow?
Yeah, 4D. That was sick.
This is what's really going on. Maybe.
All right, so I'm glad I didn't pick you now.
Hmm. So who was your team?
I picked in order Scott Farrell, my good friend Mike Biseglia for entertainment purposes only. And then I picked Bill Ryder for his gambling expertise. And I picked Tiki for his ability to be Tiki and get us into places.
Yeah, he's
doors got, open
he's
for
got
that guy.
He's got the money, too.
Exactly. You're a loser. Right, he can fund us, and he can get us through the velvet ropes.
Yeah, that's a must pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also with Tiki, you could pretend if there's a Bucks fan.
He's Rondé.
You said he was Rondé.
Yeah.
He's versatile.
He's actually two people in one.
Giants or Bucks?
If there's any
offense or defense.
Somehow there are chemistry issues with the team. You could just have fun being, let's just trick people in thinking that he's Rondé just for a couple hours. That alone will have 20, 30 laughs.
Have you seen my team? It's Pete, Sean Marash, Andy Gresh, myself, and Jody Mack. Running around Vegas.
Pete's a terrible general manager.
Yeah, you'd have to carry that team. Bro.
Yeah, I am doing... My back hurts already.
You need to
go see a chiropractor. Good Lord, Pete. Give me some help.
I'd go with that team because I love Jody Mack. Appreciate you. Yeah, Jody Mack is my number one. You kidding me? Hanging out with Jody Mack in Vegas?
Jody Mack coming back. You know what I mean? Right here on Infinity Sports.
I would also want to point out that after picking Maggie, Boyle followed up with Dave Marinick.
Yes, I know this, and I said Dave Marinick would probably be the guy most likely would have to pry out of jail. Yeah, not because of him, because he'd find himself in some weird situation. Like, all of a sudden, he's at a high-stakes poker table.
Yeah, he's Ed Helms from The Hangover.
Yeah,
they're basically the same person.
All of a sudden, Marinick's in major trouble.
Right, lost a tooth. Aside from
my Tyson tattoo in the face.
Right, exactly.
He'll never get lost on the roof, though, because you hear him laugh a little bit, and you can hear that laugh all the way to Vancouver, Canada.
It's almost like a Lost My Phone like an app. Yeah.
My goodness, that laugh. Overpowering.
So good.
Love you, David.
Sorry, love it.
Before we break, can I ask one sports question?
No.
I'm just looking at a deep dive into some numbers here. If a player throughout his 20s had a career high of 15 homers and now has 31 homers at age 29, wouldn't you think that is a little odd?
Are you trying to pour cold water on Trent Grisham?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's who's... I couldn't remember what player this was.
Hey, listen, man, you just go ahead. Listen, when you're 5'11", 210 pounds, like that muscle hamster, you're bound to hit some ding-dongs out of Yankee Stadium. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying that mustache seems a little unnatural.
It's coming in a little thick.
What are you trying to say about mine?
Is that the only reason you love Trent Grisham is because of the mustache?
No, because he hits 30 tanks for the Yankees. That's why I love Trent Grisham, and yes, but because he has a mustache.
Half the texts on our show text thread are about Trent Grisham.
And half your Instagram stories.
You only seem to text us when the Mets are playing well, too, which is rare. But it's like, why are you texting us when the Mets are winning?
Well, when he has 31 home runs and the Mets have about 31 wins over the last 7 months. So
spending quality time with my family, and my daughter's like, Daddy, can you help me with my homework? I'm like, no, there's an important show text coming up. Oh, Trent Grisham doubled.
Yeah, you got that right.
It's not even words anymore. It's just a picture of Trent Grisham on a tank. Know.
Somehow Manny's recruited Kaplan to make all of his Photoshops.
Texas Trent tanks, I'm telling you, man. Hey, you guys are so lucky I wasn't part of the show when Nestor Cortez was having a great season for the Yankees. Oh, I would have been miserable. Are you just kidding me? What, Matt Carpenter with that mustache?
At least Nestor, I believe, was clean. No disrespect to Trent.
Well, that's why he had a twist and turn.
Yeah, that funky delivery.
He threw the ball completely.
Trent might be fine. We're not calling him.
No, we're just joking around here. But no, Nestor Cortez was basically ballroom dancing out there on the mound.
Dude, how about the 3 weeks Matt Carpenter had for the Yankees when after the Cardinals had let him go? He hit every home run. Oh, it would have been so annoying.
Manny, you're turning us against Trent Grisham with your constant text.
No, I'm not.
Text.
You take a look at Trent Grisham, you look at his headshot, and you see that mustache, and you immediately fall back in love.
It's all right. I also get DMs from Manny about Mexican Independence Day.
Well, you keep it coming. You brought up Claudia, so I saw that clip of Claudia on Univision Instagram, so I just DM'd it to
you. Oh, I got that too. Oh,
yeah. It gave me goosebumps.
You did.
Oh.
Wait, this was back in May?
No, yesterday
when it was Independence Day. It's just been a Heritage Month. This is a hate crime.
All right, we got a break, everybody, you freaks. Coming up next, let's talk about Notre Dame.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, Pearl, big disagreement on the show and has to do with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So 0-2 to start the season, lose to Miami, lose to Texas A&M at home in a shootout. Will they still get into the college football playoff if they win out?
Yeah. Now, obviously, the debate starts with do they win out. Now, I saw huge segment on ESPN, and everybody said, like, they're still going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think they will, because a lot depends on USC. They're one ranked opponent right now. USC's 25, I believe.
Yep.
If USC stays ranked, but USC's got to win every game to stay ranked, and they go to Illinois. Like, if USC can be good and then Notre Dame can beat them, then yes, they're in. But I don't have the confidence in USC, because based on the last few years, USC hasn't played anybody yet. They look fine now. So if Notre Dame runs a schedule without a single ranked win, the College Football Playoff Committee announced before the season that they are going to really emphasize strength of schedule. I think they, believe it or not, going to make an example out of Notre Dame and resist the public pressure to put in a very popular program. So I think that they're actually, it's going to hurt Notre Dame to be Notre Dame. They're going to be like, well, we keep talking about strength of schedule. We have to, you know, put action behind our words and keep Notre Dame out.
Yeah, I do not agree with that at all. I think that the committee can say whatever they want to say. What has this committee and college football as a whole been run by and run on for decades, years, and especially now in the TV era? It's about money. And I know that the contracts are already sewn up between the college football powers that be and the TV networks, but they want money, eyeballs, and to deliver for their advertisers. And for that, Notre Dame will not be made an example of. And for that, Notre Dame will get every benefit of the doubt. Now,
it's 2025. You don't think all these programs are going to get big eyeballs?
Notre Dame is different. It still is different. And love them or loathe them, you can actually say there are half the people that love them and half the people that hate them. Not every program is like that.
I don't know. I'm not sure the metrics show that last year. I mean, I feel like, what was the team? There was one team, Ohio State, started getting really big numbers last year.
Of course, but they win. Like, Notre Dame gets numbers even in years when they're down, which is, you know, to me, this is where the committee showed you that they are going to give a safety net to Notre Dame. The fact that they lost at Miami and then they lost at home to Texas A&M and they still were ranked. And they're ranked 24. They did not fall out of the top 25. That just basically is leaving the door open for them to inch up and inch up every week because other people on top of them are going to lose and are going to fall back down or back to the pack.
Right. But I mean, they're not going to get the conference title. So a couple of those spots will go to that. Of course. But I just think that they're going to be really close. It's going to be close at the end. Now, the other thing about this new, they call it the record strength thing. They are going to say those losses were against really good teams. So if A&M wins out, then that would really help.
A&M even have to win out?
Or they have to be good.
Yeah.
Like if A&M falls apart, that would be very bad too.
I also think it's how they lost.
Yeah.
If Miami looks like the real deal and Carson Beck's going to be a Heisman, you know, front runner.
That would help too if they were very good the rest of the year, which they probably will be.
They lost to them by 3 points. 3 points, 2 points, 3 points, and they lost to A&M by a point. But you know, these are not blowouts.
But who are they going to beat? Like, what's the win?
See, I think the committee will flip it where they would say, no, we're going to reward Notre Dame because they scheduled a very difficult teams at the beginning of the year, right? Like, you can't say conference, non-conference because they're not in one. They mostly play the ACC. But still, like, they're going to reward for saying, hey, you took on Miami. Mm. You took on A&M. Last year, you went to A&M. Like, you have a pattern where you will play heavier hitters to begin the season. I think they're going to spin that as a positive for Notre Dame and not leave them out because of that.
All right, we'll see. I think the SEC is doing some things behind the scenes and working really hard. Like, we're not going to get screwed 2 years in a row. I mean, we'll see. Say Texas, for example. Texas has two losses and Notre Dame has two losses. I would really like to see them keep... Well...
That Texas would be like a one-off. I don't think you're actually going to be competing against Texas necessarily. I think you'll be competing against...
Illinois.
And who do you think's going to get the nod there?
I think a one-loss Illinois, because the Big Ten's having kind of a moment right now, would get in over a two-loss Notre Dame.
That'd be a fight.
Well, I think a one-loss Illinois would get in. I mean...
Probably. I mean, they're ranked number 9 in the country. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I could be dead wrong here. I admit, your logic is spot on. Now, Notre Dame is a big deal, but I just feel like they are they're going to actually follow through and consider strength of schedule. And I don't care how many times you beat Purdue, I'm not putting you in for that.
EJ?
I don't think it in. We always talk about Alabama, that FSU thing, but remember, they left them out 1 year when they were two losses, and then they left them out the year last year when they were three losses. Like, when they've had that big brand, and if their resume didn't stand up, college football playoff mini has been kind of consistent with letting that big brand sit on the sideline.
I think they like the 12-team playoff, and we'll do 16 and go up and up and up because it gives Notre Dame this magic carpet in every single year. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Obviously, now they got to go win. So there's that. Coming up next, will the Eagles championship have an asterisk?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.